Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk about the pack with Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day podcast on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G provider of the Green Bay Packers on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's the first time I've heard this intro. I don't know how to feel about it. It is the Mason Crosby Show. Tommy Wirtz, Brandon Snyden for Mason Crosby and Mitch Nellis. On their own show. Andy Herman, the Pack-A-Day podcast, joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Mr. Herman, I would say I'm sorry that we don't have the usuals here, but as you know, you were totally expecting not Mason Crosby and Mitch Nellis after the experiences, you know. How are we doing today, Andy?
I am doing fantastic. Great to be chatting with you guys. Thanks for being here. And yeah, what's the deal? First one of these, and Mason and Mitch don't even they no show.
Rami was gone on our show 9 to noon. Yeah. He was gone this morning. So
like
you know,
things
have fallen apart since I left. That's what I can tell so far. It's completely fallen off the rails.
No, well, you know, Wednesdays. Like I would try to remind you where it's like, oh no, Wednesdays. There's no Crosby. He's got a golf trip or something, whatever it is. And then you'd be like, okay, and then like. Every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, no, he's actually here today. He's not going to be on tomorrow. And then I just stopped filling you in because I never even knew. It felt like. And Mitch Nellis, he'll be back tomorrow. He's been out the last couple of days as well. Andy, Matt LaFleur talked today to the media. Seems like everyone is done talking about Cleveland, right? It's all on to Dallas now. And the Green Bay Packers have to take on the Cowboys this week. Sunday night football. Were you able to look? Were you there at Matt LaFleur's press conference today? Were you able to hear anything from it yet?
No, I did watch it. I did watch it live, but I did not have the opportunity to attend in person or ask any questions. Busy grinding tape and finishing up some of the offensive grades from last week. But yeah, obviously heard what he had to say. Mostly good injury news from a Devontae Wyatt standpoint, but obviously we just got the injury update to some of the, you know, Zach Tom, Aaron Banks, both not practicing as well as Javon Bullard. So those kind of the key takeaways there.
Absolutely. And I wanted to talk to you now about this Dallas versus Green Bay. Traditionally, all favoring Green Bay in recent memory, but there's plenty of people in the 90s that would argue that take away from me. And now it's like two mini revenge games, right? You got the Kenny Clark and Micah Parsons revenge game here. What are some things you are looking forward to this Sunday night battle, Mr. Herman?
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but I know that my eyes are certainly going to be glued to the Packers offensive line in this one. This should be a get right game for the Packers offensive line. The Dallas pass defense has been brutal. Yes, they've got Kenny Clark up front. This could be the debut of Jadeveon Clowney at defensive end for Dallas. I liked their second round pick, Donovan Ezeraku, a lot coming out. He has not done a ton so far over his first few weeks. But this is one where if you look at it on paper, you're not super concerned about the Dallas defensive front. You should be able to protect. That being said, Green Bay just put some of the worst offensive line tape you could possibly imagine out there. And if you're Dallas's defensive line, you're thinking the exact same. You're thinking, hey, our defensive front hasn't got off to a great start. What an opportunity for us to get right against this Green Bay offensive line that looked awful a week ago. No, the good news for Green Bay is the offensive line. It didn't look great, but it certainly didn't look that bad against Detroit or against Washington. So hopefully that was a little bit more of a one-off. My guess is we're not going to see a game that bad from them for the remainder of this season. My guess is we're not going to see a defensive front as good as Cleveland's for the remainder of this season. But that's what my eyes are initially going to go to is, does Dallas's defensive line hold up well and get to Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs early in this game and make it so that Green Bay is kind of behind the eight ball again? Or is it sort of back to norm for Green Bay? Jordan Love has time to throw. Dallas can't get there. And we see like Russell Wilson in week two put up 450 yards. Is Jordan Love just throwing the ball all around the yard? Because if Dallas can't attack the Green Bay Packers offensive line at all, it's just over. Green Bay wins the game. So that's certainly where my eyes are going to be going early in this one.
Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. For those of you who don't know, Andy Herman is a complete psychopath and goes through every single player, every single game, and judging the tape of every single player and gives his grades as well a part of that. Andy, you bring up the point of the offensive line. None of it good tape, by the way, but the worst. Who has right now, maybe a little teaser at your grades, where was the biggest problems on the offensive line? Who had some of the worst grades in your eyes?
Yeah, the worst was Jordan Morgan. He had an abysmal game. Not only, obviously, the penalties that we saw, but he struggled in run blocking. He struggled in pass protection. And it didn't matter. It wasn't just like he was going against Myles Garrett all day. In fact, the Garrett reps he usually had help on. But it was all the other reps where he just consistently got beat. And the issue with Morgan, too, is it wasn't like in the run game he wasn't getting movement, which would be a negative grade in and of itself potentially, but it was that he was giving up immediate penetration in both pass protection and in run blocking. So he had a rough day, but the one I'm going to say I'm actually by far and away most disappointed by is Elgton Jenkins. I think Elgton Jenkins has been low-key bad through the first 3 weeks of the season. I did an episode right before week three on Saturday before the Browns game, and I said, here's five players that we haven't been talking about enough. And four of them are for good reason. Like they were playing really well and we didn't talk about them a ton. And I wanted to, you know, kind of bring it out of like, hey, these guys are playing well. We haven't talked about it a ton. But one was that they're not playing well and we haven't said anything about it. And that was Elgton Jenkins. And it was mostly just like, it doesn't look right. It just doesn't feel right. Doesn't look right. Doesn't look like Elgton Jenkins. Wasn't anything egregious through the first 2 weeks. And then he puts this on tape in week three, which I thought was one of the worst games I've seen outside of him, like coming off of the ACL and trying to play right tackle out of position and some stuff like that. I thought this is about the worst we've ever seen from Elgton Jenkins. And it's one thing for an Anthony Belton or a Jordan Morgan to not maybe be quite ready yet in some of their first games that they've played. It's a total different story for Elgton Jenkins, who you expect to be the leader and sort of your rock, especially with Zach Tom out the majority of the game in this one. And he just wasn't. He consistently got beaten. I haven't loved the level of effort from Elgton Jenkins over the first 3 weeks of the season.
No question, Andy, that the offensive line needs to be better. Does that tie into, do you think, that the struggles with Josh Jacobs? Just some numbers real quickly for Josh Jacobs. And it's no secret, the Packers want to run the football. They especially want to run it with Josh Jacobs. It makes Jordan Love better. It makes the offensive line better. It makes everybody's life a little bit easier. 58 carries to start the year for number eight. Just 180 yards, 3.1 yards per carry. Andy, his longest run is 15 yards. I mean, all of those kind of seem to be something that are indicative that, yes, the offensive line is bad, the Packers offense not being able to get into rhythm. Is this the week, Andy, where if we can't get number eight going, we can't get Josh Jacobs going against this Dallas Cowboy defense, against this front, should we be concerned? When should we be concerned if that's not the case?
Yeah, I'm willing to give it just a little bit more time. Dallas has, as they've noted, tried to improve their run defense. I don't think they've done a great job of it, but I'm willing to give them the bye week. You know, Zach Tom's not going to play this week. My guess is Aaron Banks is probably not going to play this week. I'm willing to give them some time through the course of the season to certainly get this right. But yeah, the offensive line in run blocking so far has not been good. I'll take it a step further. The tight ends have not been great in run blocking. The receivers have not been great in run blocking. And we know for this Matt LaFleur offense, it does take everyone working collectively in order for that to work the way that you want. And it's a little bit disappointing, obviously, because when you have a running back as talented as Josh Jacobs, you want to get him in space. We saw on the one play that actually generated any real, well, outside of the Matthew Golden play, which would have, should have been a lot more than that, but the little wide receiver, or I guess screen to the outside for Josh Jacobs, where they did the little bubble screen to him, where he actually got in space. And once again, you see what he's able to do when he actually has some room to operate. You know, he turned a lot of these runs over the first few weeks that should have been -2, -3 into +2, +3. And that amounts to what, a, you know, 2-3 yard per carry average. Sometimes it doesn't look sexy on paper, but he's still doing everything that he can to generate positive yardage. But if you're not going to block for him the way that you need to up front, it's going to be extremely tough sledding. So this offensive line in totality, it, well, like the way that I look at games is not, it's not just like win and loss. Obviously, that matters as you're trying to get number one seed, win the North, get in the playoffs, those sort of things. But I'm looking for like catastrophic issues that can ultimately kill you come the postseason. If they don't clean it up, it will ultimately beat you come January and February. This is going to be a playoff team. We all know that, barring something catastrophic. So what are the things that could potentially hold them back? And to me, the two in this one are offensive line play and special teams. If those things do not get better through the course of the season, if we don't see consistent growth, it's just going to be something that ultimately beats them in the playoffs. So that's why for me, for the while, offensive line and special teams are going to be the two I'm keeping an extra eye on.
Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast, joining us here at Andy Herman NFL, if you want to follow him on Twitter. And Andy, I want to bring up, you brought up earlier this Dallas defense, right? And on top of that, that was something that we could talk about, and seeing what Russell Wilson did to that Dallas defense during his game, 450 yards, as you brought up a couple of weeks ago against Dallas, and Jordan Love's play so far. I've been pretty impressed with what he's done, and I know they lost to Cleveland, and he's the quarterback, and it falls a lot on him, but quite frankly, if Jordan Love wasn't playing in that game, I don't know how Green Bay moves the football at any point during this game. His approach against Dallas this week, how does Jordan Love get the similar results we saw out of Russell Wilson, and do you think he can do that, Andy?
I certainly think he can. Jordan's been awesome when he's got clean pockets. It's when there's been that immediate pressure where it's obviously been a little bit more of an issue, which is the case with most quarterbacks. I get we've been spoiled, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, through the course of, you know, 3 decades. And I don't think Jordan is quite to that level where no matter what's going on, like those guys have the ability to just elevate the play of everyone else. I don't think Jordan's quite there, but I think he's really great in the effect that if you put the right pieces around him, you protect him, he's going to tear through a defense. And we've seen it literally in Dallas before. Certainly in 2023 in that playoff game. So no, I think if the receivers do what they're supposed to do, the offensive line actually protects up front. Yeah, Jordan has every right to have a huge game in this one. And so far, I think Jordan's off to a really good start for the season. Yes, you would really like him not to have that interception in a awful moment, the one time that it can't happen in that game. I love the fact that he bounced back, led them down the field to what should have been a game-winning field goal right after that. I love the fact that he threw what probably should have been the dagger touchdown to Matthew Golden, but Golden, for whatever reason, despite having 4 steps in bounds, could not course correct and get upfield a little bit more. So I think there's things that you still really like about Jordan's play in this game. The interception is certainly unfortunate, but if this is a team that actually protects him in this game against Dallas, I don't see any reason why, especially the way that Dallas's secondary is beat up and why with the defensive front not being able to get pressure for Dallas, that Jordan doesn't have a really big game in this one.
Andy, you mentioned the interception, and it was kind of a backbreaker, obviously, in that game. I think there's a different outcome in that game if Jordan doesn't throw that ball and it gets picked off. Do you also think that not only is that a learning opportunity for number 10, which I think most of us would agree that that probably is, but do you also think, Andy, that this is sort of a learning opportunity for head coach Matt LaFleur? Because off the top of my head, and you would know this better than I would know, it's not many times that Matt LaFleur could have been like, you know what, let's run the ball here on 3rd and, I think it was 3rd and 6, whatever it was.
Third and three.
Let's run the ball here and let's punt it 60 yards downfield and let's let Joe Flacco and that Cleveland Browns offense go up against our defense, because the Packers haven't had a defense like this I don't think since LaFleur's been a head coach. I know they had a hot start in 2019, but it's not comparable in this regard. Is this also sort of a learning opportunity for head coach Matt LaFleur to be able to like, okay, we can rely a little bit on this defense now. We went out and got Micah Parsons. We have Edgerrin Cooper. We have Xavier McKinney. We can rely on our defense to get a stop and not have to go out there and score every single possession.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a really easy thought to have when you're the play caller as well, too, right? I mean, Andy, elaborate. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think the really interesting thing is, Brandon, I think you're correct. I think this is a learning opportunity for Matt, and I think you do have to play the game that's in front of you. If there's no interception there, if Green Bay just punts the ball away, heck, if they punt it away on third down, Green Bay wins that game. Cleveland's not driving down on that Packers defense, right? So I do think that you have to play the game that's in front of you. And I think in that scenario, probably being a little bit more cautious was probably the right call. Now, I think the really funny thing is the bigger narrative that I have seen from fans online following this game is, oh, Matt's not aggressive enough. It was too vanilla of a game plan. They didn't, which I vehemently disagree with. But if you think of the end of the game where they win it three straight times, brought it down to 20 seconds on the clock and to kick a game-winning 45-yard field goal, I've seen from a ton of people they weren't aggressive enough. And in this particular game, I thought that was the exact thing they should have done, brought it to 20 seconds, kick a 45-yard field goal, which should have been a 40-yard field goal had there not been a stupid false start penalty on that specific drive. So that to me was the right thing. I just think, you know, when you go back a drive, I think if Matt could have that one back, certainly the play call where you could throw anywhere into a muddied look for Jordan is not the situation that you want to be in. If anything, I would have said, hey, you've got Romeo one-on-one on the right side. Everything else is off to the left for a reason. We want to avoid that entirely. We're certainly not going to throw over the middle of the field. We're going one-on-one Romeo. If Romeo wins, awesome. We're throwing it. We're going to win. If not, we're going to, you know, either, you know, try to run for it or we're going to take a sack, whatever we need to do to keep that clock running. But in that scenario, yeah, I think he needs to coach to the situation, understand that his defense has already has this game won. You don't need to do anything offensively. You've already got the 10 points, which should be enough. So be careful, be cautious, punt the ball away. I know fans would hate it in the moment, but I think it would have been the right decision in that situation.
Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show at Andy Herman NFL. If you want to follow him along on Twitter, Pack-A-Day Podcast, of course, on YouTube as well. Andy, I want to go back to your Jordan Love comments from two questions ago. You had said if the receivers do what they're supposed to do. Andy, please elaborate on what the hell they're supposed to do, because I don't know where you point. And I think that's the approach they are trying to have in Green Bay, where it is, hey, we have no number ones, and we're going to lean into that, right? I made the comparison to the Brewers. Hey, we have no superstars. Any one of them can bite you in the on the day, right? I mean, that doesn't matter. Well, what is there supposed to be a receiver separating from this group? Or is this supposed to be every receiver needs to be ready when their name is called? And are they drawing up any specific type of plays, do you think, for these guys? Or we need to just find a way to get the ball in one of these hands? Because I don't think that's defined at all, Andy, on what these wide receivers are supposed to do. Who is supposed to be the guy in the room, Andy?
Yeah, I think it obviously is going to depend a lot situation and scenario. I still go back to this last week in Cleveland where they couldn't block anything up. There were certainly opportunities there for wide receivers down the field, but Jordan just did not have the ability or the time to be able to get to some of those receivers. And to be fair too, what you're going to do as a defense when your line is winning that quick, you're going to come up and press those wide receivers, and it's tough to get immediate wins, right? It takes a little bit of time to get off of that coverage, and it just becomes a race. And if the receivers can't get off that coverage in enough time, and their defense is immediately there, well, then good luck. You don't have a lot of opportunity to do anything. I thought in week two, Matthew Golden was open a ton, just didn't end up getting the ball, wasn't in part of the,
just out of reach a couple times.
Exactly. Couple misses on that from Jordan. So I think they need to continue to get him more involved. I think he is the potential special playmaker. I'm going to love to when Christian Watts is back, obviously Jaden Reed down the road. But I do think they have to figure out in certain situations and go-to situations, who's going to be that guy? I still think that is a question. And the one thing I'll add, taking away from this game that I really saw on a couple different occasions, was there were plays even where Jordan was kind of bailing out of the pocket, which was a necessity in this game. And unfortunately, the receivers were not working back to the ball. There was one specific one where it was, I think, Golden and Dobbs. And like Dobbs is like crossing the field. Jordan's rolling right. Dobbs is crossing the field to his left. And instead of like sort of course correcting and coming back right or coming back to the ball. He just kind of keeps running left and runs himself basically out of the play. And Golden, that's actually the play on the end of the third quarter where Jordan takes a sack on the play and Golden's running down the field. And you can almost see like he's just waiting for one of those guys to like come back to the ball and like, hey, let's do something. And instead they're just kind of continuing on their routes and it ends up, you know, being a sack in that situation. So I just think everyone kind of needs to do just a little bit more and everything will be just a little bit more cohesive on offense.
And I'm going to be a little dramatic here for you and I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. So I apologize in advance, but for me, you know, I am always, you know, worried about, you know, what my football team is going to do. I said it earlier. I don't enjoy Packer games because they stress me out too much, but Sunday's a big game. In your opinion, you start the year 2-0, you lose to the Cleveland Browns where you were winning that game literally for 99.9% of the time. Is Sunday at Dallas, Jerry World, Sunday Night Football, heading into a bye week, when you start the year 2-0 and you lose against the Browns, is Sunday against the Cowboys a must-win game for the Green Bay Packers?
It is not, but man, it's going to be a long week and a half, 2 weeks between the end of the Cowboys game and the beginning of the Bengals game, if that ends up being the case. And there will be a lot of questions. Then there's going to have to be a lot of answers throughout the course of the week, and they're going to have to learn a lot of lessons if that ends up being the case. I don't expect that to be the case. I expect Green Bay to win in this one, but to have two games back-to-back where you're 7-plus point favorites basically in both of the games and lose both of those, yes, on the road, but that would be a really disappointing outcome. And yes, there would be fair questions as to what in the heck just happened and how they're going to correct it moving forward. I already said my corporate response will be, hey, the Philadelphia Eagles were 2-2 last year going into a week 5 bye and everything worked out okay for them. But my goodness, Brandon, if that ends up being the case and we have to go through 2 weeks following two losses after two really impressive wins, it's going to be a little vomit-inducing for those couple weeks trying to have to deal with that.
Especially because the Lions look good. Like, the Lions look like they're back to being the Lions, and now you got to kind of keep pace with them again.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, when he puts his corporate hat on as Andy Herman, there he is. Andy Herman, Packaday Podcast, thank you so much. What you got in the works here, boss, that we should know about?
Yeah, just Packaday Podcast 365. A lot of great stuff out on YouTube. You can find us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On any audio channel too, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and you can find me at Andy Herman NFL.
Well, Andy, we'll definitely keep in touch. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday if we don't talk sooner. Have a good rest of your day, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
There he is, Andy Herman, Packaday Podcast, joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. When we come back, we'll go over more happening this weekend. There's Ryder Cup. There's a massive college football slate. And, of course, Green Bay Dallas Sunday night on the Pembroke, if you didn't know. For those of you that don't know, Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. So that's why I say on the Pembroke, because his nickname is Peacock. But Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's take a look at the weekend for the first time. It is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.